Maxine Duncan felt like something was bothering her teenage daughter. It was just about a month into the school year.
So I was just like, maybe she's just having a bad day. But those days added up when finally I asked her, I said, what is wrong with you? What is wrong? I said, did something happen to you? And then she started crying. And she said, yes.
Duncan's daughter asked KCAW not to use her name, but gave her mother permission to speak on the record. She told her mother she'd been sexually assaulted by a fellow student at Mount Edgecombe High School.
And even in that initial moment of her opening up to me and I knew it was bad, I didn't ask her to tell me the story right then and there. I said, hold on one moment. I'm going to call your dad so you don't have to keep repeating yourself.
The family reported the assault to the Sitka Police Department immediately, and a police officer told them he would notify the school and initiate an investigation. Duncan says over the next several weeks, they had 3 in-person meetings with school leadership. In that time, she says no safety plan was implemented, and getting information about the investigation was challenging. Throughout that process, she says her daughter was met with skepticism from school leaders.
When a student reports a sexual assault, the expectation is not perfection. It's protection.
She says it was unclear what steps the school was taking to keep her daughter safe, and the requests for information were being ignored. In that time, Duncan's daughter's grades slipped, and she took to hiding in bathrooms between classes, skipping lunch and cheer practice to avoid the student in common areas.
They would have sent him home faster if he had started a fight than had put my daughter's life in danger. Not only when it happened, but for the next 3.5 weeks while he wasn't even being on a restriction. In any type of little guidance that we got, it was never to make us feel safe.
And she says the school's protocol for responding to sexual assault allegations was also unclear. Peeling through the school's handbook and website didn't help. KCAW found the same problem. According to federal law, Duncan and her family should not have been left in the dark. Title IX, the 1972 federal civil rights law, prohibits sex-based discrimination in schools, including sexual harassment and assault. Kaylee Baker is an attorney with TNG Consulting, an organization that specializes in risk management and higher education, including Title IX. Baker says in 2020, Title IX regulations were updated to include detailed guidance on the formal grievance process.
And so when we have an allegation, and a complainant files what is called a formal complaint requesting an investigation, then the school has to do several things as dictated by these regulations, which are binding on all schools in the U.S. And the process is pretty rigid and it's pretty robust.
If the grievance process is followed, Baker says there's information that has to be provided to both parties before interviews can occur. Appeal rights must be offered, and before an investigation is finalized, all parties have the right to review and comment on any evidence that was collected. The final investigation report should include that feedback.
Then they also get a copy of that investigation report before a separate individual who was not the decision maker and who is not serving as the Title IX coordinator makes a determination as to whether or not policy is violated.
Under Title IX, the accused has rights too, but Baker says schools can still separate students as part of the investigation process.
There could be changes made to residence halls assignments, or perhaps changes made to academic class schedules, or perhaps staggering of dining hall times and some other things too. And certainly the issuance of no contact orders or no contact directives are all very common supportive measures that can still be enacted.
Duncan says her family didn't receive the required Title IX documentation at the time. After about a month had passed, a school administrator called them to say the investigation was complete, and Duncan says the student was expelled. KCAW reviewed a letter that the family received from the state, which said the student had been charged with sexual assault. But Duncan says at that moment, they didn't want to pursue the case any further. Her daughter just wanted to feel like a high school student again. More than 3 years have passed, and Duncan's daughter is an adult now, and she wants to review the school's files on her case. But when she reached out for documents, she got pushback. After being denied a couple of times, they finally secured their records from the city, only after providing in-person identification. And the school could not find any relevant records to share with them and directed them to the Sitka Police Department for investigation records. Baker says it's a common misconception that if a police investigation is initiated, the school has done its due diligence. But it hasn't. Schools are required to do an independent investigation that's separate from the police investigation under Title IX. And they must keep files from those investigations for 7 years.
Not only do I wish that more administrators recognized that this school has an independent obligation to conduct an investigation and provide a process and provide support, but I want families and students to know that as well, right? That going to law enforcement does not mean that you're not entitled to a process at your school.
KCAW reached out to the state's Commissioner of Education, Dina Bishop, and Mount Edgecombe High School Superintendent David Langford for comment. In a statement, Commissioner Bishop said based on the available information, the report was taken seriously by staff at the time and referred to the proper authorities. She said supportive measures were offered to Duncan's daughter consistent with school practices, and the alleged student withdrew from the school shortly thereafter. However, Bishop said in reviewing the files, she and Superintendent Langford identified gaps in their Title IX process that were, quote, concerning. Specifically, that during and after leadership transitions between spring and fall of 2022, including the hiring of a new superintendent and principal, it was, quote, not clear how certain Title IX responsibilities and records were transferred during that period. Bishop said she and Langford are reviewing the school's procedures and expanding Title IX training for staff. Duncan's daughter gave permission for KCAW to use her voice in this piece. Here she is reading from a statement.
As a teenager, you're taught that if something bad happens, there are systems meant to protect you. You're told that there are clear rules, clear processes, and people who will step in when something goes wrong. But when I tried to rely on those systems, I saw how easily those clear rules were treated like suggestions instead of obligations.
She and her family say they don't want to see the school punished. They want accountability and policy change, and they want to see the law applied.
These protections exist because survivors before me fought for that civil right, a right I should have had, and having it properly applied could have lessened the emotional impact that I will carry for the rest of my life.
Commissioner Bishop says her office will continue to review the school's records to determine whether more information around the case can be identified. Meanwhile, the Duncan family has obtained legal counsel and is looking into their options. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.